Hi there, Kyle here. Just wanted to share with you that this is a kind of a different episode of Tavern Tales, because at the very end of it, there is an interview with Tom Knaus in regards to Frog God Games' forthcoming Mesoamerican-style campaign setting for 5e and other systems on Kickstarter, set to launch very soon. Keep your eye on it, and of course, there will be details about it in the show notes. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode. Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast. Previously on Tavern Tales, determining that Maryland and Tex will soon be irreparably cursed, Alabama takes matters into his own hands as Paige changes the story in order for a chance to save the day.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise your glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
The storyteller pauses, expectantly looking at the cranky and annoying old lady, and says, "It just was an ill bit of luck that Alabama Johnson had not memorized Remove Curse.
Now,
had she done that...
Wait a minute, you fucker. That is not true. My Alabama knows that curse one from heart from the day he's born, and I know that for a fact.
But he hadn't prepared a spell.
Well, he was in this moment of fucktitude, and he looked in his heart and spoke to his Zotzi. I don't know why, in love of Kinajaja, at some point he switched, but whatever. That's a different story for a different time. And Zotzi said, I gave you the answers on your arm, dumbass.
Does it have to be Zotzi?
It's Zotzi.
Okay. Zotzi. That was Kyle asking Paige. Does it have, like you said that she's all like, he loved his Kinajaja.
So. And a desperate plea for my Alabama to realign himself. Kinajaja extended a branch of hope. And he gave him an answers on his forearm like he's cheating on a test. And Alabama saw those letters light up. And he's like, all right, that's how I do removing a curse.
So what you're saying is that Kinajaja granted aid unto that forsaken follower of his? I mean, does anybody here even believe that?
Did it sound like I stuttered?
Yeah, I think the lady's got a point.
Shut up. You just walked in the door. At nothing you know at all.
Can I go outside and play? It's dark in here.
You stay there and you do your math homework, Billy.
Hey, don't be mean to him. I'll hit you with my cane. Now, can we get back to the proper story, please? Of Kenny Jaja coming to save the day and hopefully bring my boy back to the light.
No, am I... Go ahead. Tell the story then.
Fantastic. So as I was saying... As I was saying, Kenny Jaja loves our dear little Alabama with his whole heart, and he was looking for the perfect opportunity to bring him on back to the light. And he made this offer and says, if you take these cheating answers, you have to swear yourself back to me, and you cannot be talking to the Zotzi on the side anymore. He cannot be your side piece. And Alabama looked down at his arm, and he thought long and hard. And he looked at his acquaintances, and he walked over to the teleport. No, just kidding.
Walked over the door and went away. I love me some Zotzilaha.
See ya, fuckers. And he accepted Kinajaja's offering and went back to the light. Now you may continue the story. I need a beer.
So there's no way that you could go back to Kinich Aja right now. Kinich Aja has extended this and he has granted aid and taken aid from you. Mm-hmm. And you can no longer cast aid ever again.
Okay.
Remove curse has been added as your one of your prepared spells. And Zotsalaha is not pleased.
Oh no.
At your waffling. You are literally Snow White in the first season of Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
No, not Snow White. Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm married to her, but I love you. But I'm married to her, but I love
but
you.
But I can't stop thinking about you. And I want to make out with you in the middle of the street while I'm still married and my wife may be pregnant or not.
Wow.
You got Zotsi pregnant.
I'm not very loyal.
What does your girlfriend think of that?
The holy symbol in your arm is gone entirely.
Aww.
I'm unaligned.
You are a cleric with no patron at the moment or two warring patrons. That piece of metal is burned up, no damage. And you have the ability to cast Remove Curse.
Yes.
All right. What are you going to do?
I am going to cast Remove Curse 3 times.
Okay. Uno, 3 times?
Dose, maybe.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Okay. So for the first one here.
Yes.
You're going to cast Remove Curse.
Yes.
On who?
Maryland.
And is Remove Curse a single action or does it take time to cast Remove Curse?
Instantaneous.
So it is one action and you must touch the person.
Yes.
You're going to get bit.
Okay. I'll risk my life for others. It's one of my things.
Please give me the verbal component of Remove Curse.
Alabama, you're having a little bit of an internal fat right now. And I don't know if anyone else is willing to help you. So you're going to have to look real deep down upon yourself. And you're going to have to inspire yourself to help your fellow comradians. Dig deep. Dig those heels in. Drop those balls. Oh, man.
Who are you casting it upon?
Maryland Jane.
Chelsea, you now have a choice.
Ooh.
Because the creature has to be willing to have the curse removed. You are now a were-jaguar.
Ooh.
And you have the ability to turn into a jaguar or like a half-jaguar, half-air-genasi creature, or just walk around in the skin of an air-genasi. But I will tell you this. You have to continue to fight the urges of being a were-jaguar, the brutally chaotic, evil plague that lies beneath your skin that is hungering for the blood of others to pass on the curse to others, but also to devour everything. There are major benefits as a player to getting to play a were-jaguar, but you have to tell me that you're choosing to resist these things. So first and foremost, though, Remove Curse is being cast upon you. Are you willingly allowing the curse to be removed, or are you unwilling?
Oh, this is so freaking cool, though.
Damn it. What does your heart tell you?
Shut up, Penny.
Your heart is saying, eat Penny.
Yeah. That's a chicken.
Mind if I'm based chicken here?
While you're debating, I want to give you one last piece of information.
Yes.
If you choose to embrace your were-jaguar heritage, the curse within you, you will give me your character sheet and play something else. If you don't and you continue to fight it, but you fail to fight it too many times, I will take your character sheet and you will have to make a new character.
Oh, because you can't play with us.
Hey, Aaron. Probably the same old questions coming your way. But remember, Aaron, you get to choose to say yes to having the curse removed. Okay.
So I think Maryland was about to go or tell Alabama to stop, but just as she was going to, Kinich Aja, I'm a child of the light, would not allow his little daughter to turn into a were-jaguar. So she gets a little voice in the back of her head and he's like, become clean. And she accepts the curse removal.
Okay, cool. Paige, roll.
Lift that curse. Lift that curse.
Watch, after all that, I fail it.
Texas, attack Penny.
Again?
Yes.
Nice.
You didn't do enough last time.
you get an action before anybody can do anything else. Actually, Penny, what would you like to do? It's your turn. You have something hanging off your front and back.
My thought is, I'll see if you allow me to do this. My thought is, I'm a goner. I've already been bit. So Penny's watched or read too many zombie books and has seen too many zombie plays and is like, I'm done. This is it. So like, because she's already been bit.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to run over to Alabama and try to cast invisibility on him so that he can save himself.
You want to cast invisibility on
Alabama so he can save himself.
Okay. I love it. You're hilarious. You are grappled and cannot move.
Yeah, I knew. I was like, dang it. She doesn't want to hurt her friends, though. And she already assumes she's just already accepted death. Like, that's kind of the state she's at. Even though she doesn't have that low of hit points,
mm-hmm.
she's like, this is it. I'm done. Right? So she just calls out to Alabama, save yourself!
Okay, cool.
And she kind of just wrestles them, but she's not going to try and hurt them.
But you can free yourself from the grapple. That's not going to hurt them.
But if they but if they stay on her, they won't go for Alabama.
You are positive they are coming for you.
Yeah.
And you they will not go after Alabama until they've finished you off.
Okay.
So why don't you do something active and try to fight them off with your prodigious strength.
I was just trying to be like Iron Man.
Yeah.
12.
It's a contested strength roll.
Nope.
You have lost.
Yeah.
So yeah, you save yourself. Do you say it in common or in Terrafolk because you're just so overwhelmed?
No, she'll say it in common.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What are you doing, Tex?
Well, you said I was attacking.
Yeah.
Get me.
Even though I missed the first time, right?
Yeah, you missed the first time.
Okay. Because, yeah, sorry. My bad.
And do you have one attack or two?
Two.
So roll them both.
Hey, man. Character sheet doesn't lie. Blah. I rolled a crit on one of them.
And the other one is a?
14. Because you said it's unarmed, right?
What?
Does that hit you?
No, I'm 16.
Then
AC.
There you go. Okay, cool. So you have a nat 20 and a 14. The crit lands and you're going to roll 2d4 plus your strength bonus.
4 damage.
Excellent. How many points you got left now?
12.
Okay, cool. Alabama, you've cast. How did you do on your roll?
So 21.
That is way more than enough. She's a willing participant for you to remove the curse. The curse has a difficulty level, though, that you have to remove it by. And if she was unwilling, you would have had disadvantage on the check. Mm. Even though the spell is one action and it is instantaneous, it's going to take your body some time to adjust to these changes that had rapidly started to undertake them. So I'm just going to say you suddenly take 12 points of damage internally as all of your joints and your mouth that had been shifting and teeth had been loosening for giant canines to erupt from has stopped. And your body is trying to recover. And you take one level of exhaustion. But you are yourself. The fire in your veins, that hot, angsty, I want to attack a string that's moving on the ground. And I want to see everything that's going on and jump on people. Internal desire has been abated. How do you respond to this?
With much alleviation?
Well, you come to yourself realizing that you are sucking the neck of Penny.
And not in a nice way.
Why Penny's voice? This is so weird.
And not in a nice way.
Yeah.
Penny's in the tavern.
I like this story. I like hearing about myself.
So as Maryland comes to the realization that she's got a mouthful of blood in her mouth, she starts to have a bit of a gag reflex because it's disgusting.
Oh, absolutely.
And so she like rips her mouth off of Penny, trying to get her like her jaw unhinged off of Penny's like collarbone and stuff because that's kind of where she latched on. And she like flings herself to the wall and starts trying to like spit the blood out.
I love it. Great job. You're not grappled anymore.
Ah.
Penny, the fire, big wall of fire suddenly goes out. Alabama, it is your turn.
I feel like Alabama knows Texas quite well.
Of course.
And knowing that this is in fact a curse and they are turning into jaguars, when Alabama first got together with Arizona, she told him a story about how it was Texas's dream to become a wildcat. And knowing that his dream is about to be fulfilled, Alabama doesn't want to mess with that. And so he's just going to stand back and let it happen unless he asks for it. because he doesn't want to make that decision for him.
I can't ask for it. I'm turning into a key cat.
Yeah. So let's put that in active game related stuff. What are you actively doing to show us these sorts of things? Or are you saying that to him?
I'm saying that to him. I'm making like a last speech to him as to why I'm not decursing him.
You see Maryland is recovering.
Yeah.
You turn. You see that Tex is quickly becoming Jaguar Tex.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so cool.
Tail is starting to erupt out the back of his derriere. And you know, with that 32, you know that if this takes over, Tex will not be Tex. If this curse takes over, Tex will no longer be there at all. He will be this bestial man type figure that will work to like eat everything he can and pass on the curse however he can. So you walk towards Tex and you say,
Tex, I know this is probably a dream coming true, but I still care about you, buddy, and I want you with us, but I want to give you the option. I know you're in a lot of pain right now, but if you want me to heal you and remove your curse, wag your tail 2 times.
Now, you are skilled at insight, so make an insight check while you're looking at him as well. You have no idea what any of that he's doing means. Maybe it's because he is so much animalistic that you can't get a read on him, but with another nat 1, Paige has fallen off the rails. You've taken over.
It's because my gods are fighting.
It's because Allison before the game went over and touched all your dice.
I touched nothing.
No, it's the confusion of Zotzi and Kinnich. I just don't know.
Oh my God.
You're too busy watching my tail.
Yeah, like that's fun.
I think the curse is passed on to her now.
Let's just be clear. That all happened story-wise. So from the storyteller's perspective, the old lady has indicated this, that there's this, and it's not that you're acting on your own now. It's that two gods want you to be their voice in the world.
Yeah.
So when you pray or worship or whatnot, it doesn't have to necessarily be to yourself. It can be to either at this point.
Wow.
Because they're both willing.
Do I get to have one bat wing and one angel wing?
You're still all bat winged out. Okay.
Just the tips.
Sorry.
You haven't taken an action yet.
No.
You're going to wait another turn. You failed your insight check. Yeah. What are you going to do, Tex?
I guess, because I'm still close to Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Close-ish.
Oh, you're on Penny's back.
Mommy.
You're not grappling her, but your honor.
Thank you.
For your honor.
I'm going to assume that I hear her.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for Alabama.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
You were talking.
This one is almost dead. You can feel the heartbeat fading quickly. You could finish this one off
very easily.
Finish the chicken and then turn for the man.
Yeah, okay, I'll finish the chicken.
Okay, finish off the
KFC
chicken.
You're not even
attack
fight
twice.
It.
I'm playing the god. I'm following what my god wants me to do.
Okay, I might change
He doesn't really get much of a chance to fight it right now. The curse is taking over, and then he will have choices later.
Okay, I rolled total 19 and total of 16.
You hit twice. Roll your damage. 2d4 plus your strength modifier twice, so that's plus 2. Nah. So roll those d4s. 7. How many hit points do you have left?
5.
Almost got you.
He really, really wanted to. He's like, let me roll some more dice.
He bites and claws at Penny again.
Well, see, now I was going to let you live out your dream. But after I said that, you go and attack your friend. And that shows me that you're not going to have any control turning into this thing. So I'm going to revoke what I said. And you know what? You're not going to have a choice. And he goes to cast remove curse. I'm tired of your bullshit. Do I roll with disadvantage?
That would be a question for Aaron.
Do you accept the removal of the curse?
So, okay, let's go back. Kyle, this is where I'll need you.
Yes.
So, if I'm not willing and I get turned over, my goal will be to spread the curse to every living thing.
So, if you're not willing to have the curse removed,
mm-hmm.
she's going to roll with disadvantage.
Okay.
If you're willing to have the curse removed, everything's good. If the curse doesn't get removed, you, Aaron, have to tell me if you're going to fight the curse all the time or if you're going to embrace the curse.
What would fighting the curse look like?
Fighting the curse will be making wisdom saving throws and whatnot in order to avoid biting people, attacking your colleagues and comrades, finishing off every opponent you see, And if you go into towns and villages and places, resisting the urge to grab small children and feast upon their flesh, not resisting the curse means you just give me the character sheet because you are about to fight everyone here at the table to the death.
Man, so cool. Do I hear Alabama's voice coming through at all?
Oh, you totally can hear Alabama's voice. You know what Alabama's
But do I recognize that it's Alabama?
Sure.
Okay. So Aztec is turning into Catman.
Do.
Sorry, it took me a second.
He twigs on to Alabama's voice, and he's kind of realizing that he's hurting Penny, but very faintly. He just notices that there's this pterodactyl person that's somewhat familiar to him in his cat-like form, and he's kind of feeling a little confused and bad, but also pterafolk meat is delicious.
Right?
And full of iron. So he will be willing to have the curse removed.
Cool. All right. Roll the D20 and remove this curse. Remember, in moments like this, blue gems can be shared if they would like to be. No, dude. I'm looking at
Hoarder
Superboy
over there.
I only have two.
Okay. You have two blue gems.
I have three.
I have three.
You have how many?
None.
How many do you have, Marie-Claire?
I have none. You took all of them.
I have all your gems?
Except for my whites. I have all my whites.
Yeah, we have lots of whites.
Oh, cool. I love it. All right. Taking Maryland Jane's blue gem. I've now collected three whites and four blues this game. I love it.
Oh, fuck you, dice.
How many ones is that today?
Four.
But the other one was a...
13. And so that's... Oh, 21.
21. Yes. The curse has been removed. Please take 24 damage.
Oh.
Because the tail falls off immediately, but all of the things that had gone from inside of him to make the tail are not inside him anymore.
Oh my God.
Horrifying.
That's gross.
One of those giant canines had erupted through and it falls out. And you have a big gap there where that canine had been. Your digigrade legs are essentially broken. And you have patches of fur falling off of you everywhere.
So just like me.
And you can hardly talk. Your face is so mushed and destroyed. Your face as well, Maryland Jane, is also quite mushed up.
Can I cast Prayer of Healing?
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna anyway.
I'm gonna need Prayer of Plastic Surgery.
Yeah.
Did you give me the words of the spell yet for removing the curse for Texas?
Hey. Kinich? Are you there? I know it's been a while since we talked, but, you know, with us becoming a little close again, I thought this might be a great opportunity to extend the branch further. I'm still undecided, but, you know, I thought I'd give a little bit of test drive and see what you're able to assist with. So if you wouldn't mind, I have a little bit of a situation down here and the darkness is trying to take over one of my friends.
If you could hear a huff of a and the turning of a head, you would feel those things.
And I know how much you dislike the darkness and want the sunlight to shine. And so I think it would be both of our best interests to assist me in helping him so that he doesn't turn into a darkness jaguar and eat everybody. That could potentially be following you. So I'm just saying, all man help me.
Have you ever experienced where like grandma and grandpa are in the room there and grandpa's like, no, of course you can't go to the store and buy chocolate bars. Woof, never. That would not be something a young child should be doing. Looking at grandma for like, of course, that's what grandma wants. Grandma's like, chocolate bars before dinner. That's bad. And because grandma's like second mom, but worse. And grandpa's sliding you a 20 that grandma can't see under the table.
Yes.
That is what Kinajaja is doing.
That's amazing.
There you
Grandpa.
Go.
Fantastic. Kinajaja.
Thanks, G-Pa.
Kinich is grandpappy, and Zotzilla is grandma.
Zotzilaha?
Yeah.
Zotzilla?
Zotzilaha. Zotzilaha.
Zotzilla. Grandma Zotzi.
So, Penny.
Yes.
Whoosh, the fire's gone out. You give me a quick perception check.
Ooh. 23.
Holy
pretty good
mackerel.
For being half dead.
Yeah. You look through the fire and you can see Florida man pretty much naked standing on a boat in the middle of a river, like a mock river of light next to a golden sarcophagus. And she looks at you and smiles and says,
"This lake gives you magical powers, yo."
There you go.
"You're on a boat. I'm on a boat."
Everybody look at me.
"I'm on a boat, yo." That's all she can say because she's a little bit not there. Somehow she perceived all that, but she's like...
Fortunately, neither of these people were truly were-jaguars. The curse had not...
They were pre-jaguar. Because
again, they hadn't made the choice to resist or embrace. They hadn't gotten to have that choice yet. Remove curse was cast before then. So you do not have to make a saving throw to resist turning into some stupid-looking... pterodactyl jaguar thing, which I was never I was so like, ugh, I don't want to describe that.
Like furry.
Like furry, yeah.
Furry and has a tail.
I can't believe you don't have feathers.
Kind of a gargoyle. Like, it'd be a gargoyle, basically.
Well,
we
don't have to go there, folks. Everything's back to normal.
Wait, I want to spin a white gem. No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, no, the bite does take effect. Continue.
If you come and have a bath in the lake, it gives you extra stuff. It's cool.
Thanks for sharing. I'm bleeding really bad. That's my goal right now.
Oh. Cool. Oh.
One thing at a time.
You're bleeding?
Yeah, real bad.
The lake can heal you.
I have to get up and get over there first.
I'll carry you.
Okay.
Kyle, can I go and carry Penny into the water to heal her?
Absolutely, yeah. You can cross the lake to come over and heal Penny.
Now remind me, did you destroy your doppelganger?
What are you talking about?
I knew there
That's
was
out of character.
There was something happening when she went over there.
Yeah, because she blacked out. We don't know what happened.
Oh, son of a bitch!
We don't know that. We have
but
no
we don't know. We have no idea.
I'm just naked.
Yeah, all of her armor and everything is laying in a bundle.
It's at a bath,
So
y'all.
There's this balcony. And there are four statues looking out over the balcony, and you can see this miniature city below you with a river, and there's an ocean over to one side. There's light glowing, and in the middle of a river in between is a fully sized dragon boat with a golden sarcophagus on it.
Come on, Penny.
Okay, Florida man standing there on the
boat. Come and have a bath. It'll heal you.
I need a little help.
Yeah, no, I'm coming to you.
Okay.
Wait just one second. Why are you naked?
Because I just had a bath.
Why? Like, okay.
In the water. Look at the water. It's glowy.
Stop. Okay. We saw this big ring of fire.
Yeah, it was just in the door.
I'm going to write a song about it.
So what happened after? You can't tell me you went on this side of the door and a big blast of fire happened and you were like, I'm going to have a bath.
No. So I had a vision of who I could become, which would be like super cool. You see my scar? It's gone. Isn't that cool? You go and have a bath.
I like your scars. Cool. And I like my scars too.
So let me lay this out. We're in here.
Yeah.
You went over there.
You need to put a shirt on? Is that why?
No, being stop. Weird?
Don't body shame her.
Big thing of fire. And yeah. Instead of thinking, oh my God, are my friends alive? You're like, I'm going to have a bath.
Oh, I knew you were alive.
How?
Because you guys are awesome.
Three people almost died over here. Well, you're
a
having
fire?
A bath.
Oh.
They turned into jaguars.
Oh.
And then one tried to eat Penny because they thought she's a chicken.
I mean, you do kind of
literally
look...
shouting this whole entire thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
going to come closer.
And it's echoing.
You're still on the boat.
Yeah. Can I come off the boat?
No, you're still on the boat.
Oh, okay. I'm on the boat. I'm on a boat. Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
And then you emerge naked from a pool, standing on a boat with no scars. I just don't get it.
It's a magical pool. It is. It gives you powers and heals you of all of your wounds. Look at all of my wounds that have gone away from all of the years of adventuring. Isn't that cool?
Why are you talking funny?
You're yelling at me from across the room.
Does somebody want to spend a white gem?
I
got lots.
Yeah. You got lots? Okay,
spend
cool.
A white gem.
Because here's the thing. The book says fire trap. Mm-hmm. On the floor just inside the doorway is a glyph of warding. The first character to step through the door and onto the glyph causes a wall of fire to spring up in the doorway with the damaging side facing away from the character who entered. The wall remains in place for 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think the glyph of warding would go away after the 1 minute was done.
No.
Right? So yeah, you have spent the white gem to tell me, yes, it would.
As soon as someone steps on it, Marianne's like, oh, there's a fire trap.
Need
stay
more
away.
Propane.
Oh, okay. Ow. Like, seriously, they look sore, so they should come and have a bath in the cool pool.
Okay. Hi. What's going on? I peek through the door. Why is she naked?
Yeah, because...
Why are we taking our clothes off?
The pool heals your wounds.
She's wearing gauze. Yeah, just the underclothes of where her armor was when it's all soaking wet.
I'm wearing my underwear.
Penny's going to slowly start walking towards the healing lake or water.
Cool. I'm excited by that, but I also am intrigued. What type of underwear does Florida man wear?
Yeah.
Like boxers.
Okay.
And like a breast binding situation.
Cool. I know what Florida man's holy symbol is now.
Florida Panthers?
No, it's your holy boxers.
It's my holy boxers. Yeah, there's a whole... Just because I'm like really awkward and weird.
I just never heard of like holy underwear except for
I
that.
Like boxers.
Yeah.
Me too. I've got a couple.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed your pun.
And then like the breast binding is like just that olden age bra situation, which is just
like a tensor bandage with a clasp. Okay, cool. Thank you. I picture that so much more easily now.
I want there to be like little pink hearts in your boxers or polka dots.
They're Florida Panther boxers.
Yeah, nice.
Cool. Florida Jaguar Panthers. Florida the Jaguars.
Jaguars.
It's Jaguars, yeah.
They're Jaguars.
The Florida Panthers is a hockey team, but there's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, so they're the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I love it. As soon as you see the underwear, both of you, Florida man in Texas, you're like, oh, shudder. Because of the pain that was inflicted.
Is my hair a little wet?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Penny, you're walking. You're on the balcony. You can descend down into the town.
Yeah, so she's walking really slowly because she's like really hurt and still bleeding a little bit. So she's taking a slow walk down to the waters where she's being called.
Come and fetch the water.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Talks, and this is my very first interview ever, so hope this goes well. I'm here today with Tom Knaus, who's got some stuff to talk to us about Frog God Games' new book and new Kickstarter that's coming out.
Yep, so what we are doing is we are releasing a new expansion to our Lost Lands campaign setting, and this is an expansion to that world. The expansion we're doing is a Mesoamerican themed expansion to the Lost Lands that will be set in the southern area of the planet, which is largely water, but it's a small, much smaller area, but it does tie into what you will be familiar with if you are familiar with the Frog God Games products. So that is going to include a main book, which is called Tewatl, and I'll spell it. It's T-E-H-U-A-T-L, and that's my best Nahuatl pronunciation. And that is more or less a gazetteer and your guide to the island of Tewatl, which will include people there, their faiths, their equipment, the places in it, their culture, pronunciation guide, as well as some other nice, cool details. And then we have a second book, which is the adventure book, which is a companion to that. Right now, we'll have three adventures, one that I wrote and one written by Rob Manning, who's done a lot of work for a variety of publishers out there, and one written by Tim Hitchcock. So if you're familiar with Paizo and Pathfinder, Tim is pretty much going to be a household name for you. So some of the stretch goals are to unlock some more of the adventures we have for that book.
That's great. What level is your adventure set for?
Mine is first tier, so it's third to fifth level. Rob's is fifth to seventh, and then Tim's is around seventh to ninth.
Nice.
So we could take you from 3 to 9, and there's actually two add-on adventures. that I both wrote that kind of fit in the middle there. So you don't need to get the main book if you just want to do those. The first one is called, and I hate to say it, I tend to come up with some clever names, and I think this is one of the best. It's called Maze and Monsters, M-A-I-Z-E.
Oh, nice.
The, old, the Tom Hanks movie. I grew up in that era, so I remember the movie came out, and everyone was like, oh my God, those people who play Dungeons & Dragons, there's something wrong with them. it was Mazes and Monsters, and so I took that. And the second adventure is called The Hidden Shrine of Tamakanath.
Oh, wow.
Name, kind of jumbled up, and I know that you guys are running The Hidden Shrine of Tamoachan, so... a perfect tie-in.
That's pretty great. What'd you do for research to dig into this topic? Because I've done some, you've written Into the Green, Into the Black, Marshes of Madness, Dunes of Desolation. So lots of setting physical locations that have really inspired you. What'd you do to dig into this Mesoamerican stuff?
Wow, it is kind of tricky. I did a lot of reading. I read a lot of books. And it's kind of funny. I was on my way to a convention and... sitting in the bookstore, you know, where they have in the airport, I'm like, oh, I got to get something to read for this flight. And sitting in the featured section, right when you walk up, was when Montezuma met Cortez.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, oh my God, that's like a sign. So of course, I bought it, read it on the plane, got into that, read a lot of other books. I watched a lot of documentaries on the Aztecs. That's probably the best source because there's not a ton of books out there, and there's really not a ton of, like, I don't want to say experts in the field. I was a history minor in college, and I took Latin American history, and we spent all of about 30 seconds on the Aztec.
It's pretty wild how it's a culture that has existed since the 20,000s BCE, and we know so much more about the Egyptians than we do the Mesoamericans, even though their culture is just as rich and storied as what we know from the Egyptians.
Yes, it is incredible. It's just kind of like, we always have looked across the ocean for inspiration, I kind of say. We look to Europe, we look to Asia, and nobody looks south and sees what was there. The Aztecs, the Mayans, the Olmecs, the Toltecs, the Incas.
You got all five. That's, you did it. There you go.
There's your big five.
There's your big five right there.
I've been reading his stuff, believe me. I've been thinking Aztec stuff for like the last year and a half. So, I just really dug into this culture. And just the more I learned, the more fascinated it became. It was just a really incredible journey.
Have you been down there much and seen the people that live there today and caught a feel for how that history is built over time?
I am honestly not. I'm not the best traveler in the world. I'll be honest. I do not like traveling. I'm more of like the 3-day and done, and I'm ready to leave. So
fair.
But I would love to go after writing all this. I would love to go, but with the current situation,
of course,
travel's not happening.
That's not going to happen. One of the reasons I was super excited about doing Tamoachan myself for Tavern Tales is because we spent some time in Belize, and we've spent a lot of time in the Mayan Riviera in Mexico, and seeing the step pyramids of the Incans and the Mayans, and seeing a lot of the other pieces that are down there. It gave me a real feel for that culture and that pervasive God worshiping, and how close their relationship was to the gods and how they built their society has always been really, really interesting.
Yeah. One of the projects they actually did on one of the programs was Lost Pyramids of the Aztecs, was they tried to recreate a small model of the Temple of Mayor, which was in Tenochtitlan, the capital city, which is now modern day Mexico City. And of course, they didn't have iron, so there were no iron tools, but these researchers used iron tools to try and recreate this small scale model of the pyramid. And they were struggling mightily to cut those blocks and, the precise form that they needed to be cut in, to arrange it in a way that it would structurally be sound and wouldn't just topple over because of the weight and the pressures. And they were really amazed by what they were able to accomplish without what we think of as chisels and metal hammers and those type of equipment, and what they were able to do and build these grand structures, grand causeways that were in the city. The city was in the middle of a lake, and they were able to build this huge causeway, and they were actually able to funnel water from 16 miles away and pump it into the city to provide their water supply. Very fascinating stuff.
That's great. So a lot of that stuff led to doubtlessly inspirational pieces for the book. What are some of the hooks? What is special about this new Lost Lands expansion book that's going to take us into the South?
We really try to instill the flavor of this culture and these people's beliefs into the book. Now, it's not a carbon copy. This is not a historical reenactment. You are not going to be adventuring in 15th century Mexico. Names are all different. The history is far different. But this is a land where you're going to be able to do things you haven't done before. You know, obviously, we use the real world creations that we had, their knowledge of medicinal plants, their knowledge of engineering, their knowledge of mathematics. And one of the things that we did to compensate for steel was the fact that the Mesoamerican people had rubber. Mm-hmm. So one of the advancements we incorporated into the book was the creation of vulcanized rubber. So it kind of gave you, you know, offset steel. We did keep steel in the game because obviously this is a fantasy setting and there are other peoples on the island who have steel and iron. But it's a semi-tropical environment where there's rust, it's hot. Do you want to wear plate metal armor in 90 degree heat with 55% humidity? Probably not a great, you're not going to be getting around.
Oh, this book's got rules for that?
We've got some rules to it.
Okay.
I didn't go, because the main book is system neutral.
Yeah.
So I didn't, you know, go into exacting details of what happens in the humidity. If you want, by Marches of Malice, it'll tell you about that for Pathfinder.
Nice.
If you want to do that. You know, so we incorporated some of that into the book, and I think we did a really good job with it. We also incorporated the real world's religion. In this version of it, the gods were heroes who came and led this rebellion against this emperor. They overthrew him, but in the process of doing so, the world was largely destroyed. And these heroes were ascended into godhood. So they were mortals once. And one of the little facets we added to this was that society was very delineated based upon nobility and social status. So nobles could own land, you could do certain things, the commoners couldn't. In this version, one of the classes of nobility are the people who are related to the hero god. So they are their descendants of some kind. So they kind of have a special status that we gave them. But there's other ways to attain nobility through valor on the battlefield, and through accomplishments in other areas of knowledge, like science, mathematics, that sort of art, dance, whatever was, you know, whatever your talent may be, that was exceptional, that warranted such an increase in your social status.
That's really cool. And I'm going to guess there's lots of monsters that are going to be incorporated into this book.
Yeah, we took a lot of monsters. There's an appendix that uses a lot of the monsters from Tome of Beasts from Cobalt Press, Future Codex from Cobalt Press, and we also created a lot. So I have to give credit where credit's due. Tim Hitchcock went really over the top creating a lot of these really wild monsters for this. Our plan is we're going to create a bestiary for this. Was one of the stretch goals.
Nice.
So if we hit the stretch goal, there will be a bestiary with art for these new creations. So,
so important, that art, hey.
Some of the art in this book, Bill Webb, our CEO, was actually talking about this book on his Facebook page. You know, he said, this is the best art Frog God has ever done.
Wow.
We were very fortunate. Many of our artists are from Central and South America. So when they got, you know, my art notes and said, I want to do this, they were like, oh, yes, I want to do this so badly. And, you know, I was like, well, let me describe what they were. They're like, no, we know what they were.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We're the I'm experts done. Here.
Right, we know this stuff. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm really psyched to see, for people to see this and really just get a feel for something that's so much different than the norm that we're so used to seeing in
right.
fantasy games.
Yes.
A very
European-centric, colonia-centric viewpoint. And it's nice to get something that's very different and very, it seems foreign, but it's really just to the south.
Right. It's a lot closer than Europe.
Exactly.
For me, I'm in New Jersey and you're in Canada. It's probably even closer for you too. So
yeah, it's so much cheaper to fly down there than it is to fly across the ocean. So
yes.
So what's the hook for your adventure, this level 3 to level 5 adventure?
So the local in Aztec society, compulsory education was a component of it.
Mm-hmm.
All children went to school, and it is the school for the nobility. Well, apparently the school's kind of gone quiet. So you're wondering, there's a big festival coming up. Where are all the students? Why are they not coming? Why are we not hearing anything from the instructors to attend this particular festival that's going on? That's the biggest thing in the town. So I drew a little inspiration for this adventure from The Lord of the Flies. And it's kind of like, well, some of the kids took over the school. So
oh, wow.
You've got to figure out why they did it, who's behind it, and what the whole story is. So, and there's a few little sidetracks in the adventure as well. I'm not a huge dungeon crawl fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't play dungeon crawl or anything like that. For me, I just don't, you know, enjoy the idea of going on an adventure just to get treasure and kill monsters. Like, well, why am I here? what's going on? Let me figure this out. And once I figure it out, then I'll go and, you know, get the treasure and kill the monsters. So, yeah. You know, I like to incorporate some of that. So there's a little bit of detective work in the adventure, and then you get to figure out what's going on. Now, all of the adventures are not linked together. So there's not like, this is not a story adventure path. But like I said, they're pretty closely clustered together in levels. So you can go from one to the next to the next. And it's not a big island. It's not like, you know, in Ark's campaign setting, going from one region to another can be 5,000 miles. This is like, you know, 200 miles. So it's a doable trek.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're happy with that.
If you were going to be playing in this game, in this setting itself, what would you be playing?
What we did was we created two class options for each character class in 5e and Pathfinder. A host of new equipment. So you can have a Makhwil,
yep,
which is the flat club with the obsidian spikes lining it that cuts through pretty much anything. It is kind of fragile, so it will shatter or chip after over time. New spells that are largely based in a lot of the customs of the Aztecs. And we also have a lot of new magic items that are also based on their customs. There's a chocolate magic item. You can eat it and it gives you powers.
Nice.
Yeah. So we incorporated a lot of things like that. Pumpkin seeds, because pumpkins were here in the new world. They were not in the old world.
Right.
And, you know, the character classes are really built, steeped in a lot of the tradition. So there's a jaguar knight. You can play an eagle knight. You can play what we created as a coyote knight. Or you can play what's called the Serpent Knight. There are different fighter variations. We also created some bard variations that use flowers and dance. And there's actually a monk that incorporates dance steps into their combat routine.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that was pretty cool. A ranger who actually does the courier. You're very agile. You can run, but you're also very good at fighting on your own as opposed to fighting as part of a group. So right. We actually prefer it because it gives you advantages. So we really took a lot of the traditions and a lot of the military history and added it into the mechanics of the game. And my cat wants to be part of the podcast. He's always good at this. He enjoys saying something. And, you know, jaguars play a very big role.
Yeah, they really do.
Society. And, you know, he's not a jaguar, but he wants to think he is one.
Nice.
For today, he can be one.
And what is your cat's name?
He is Santini.
Santini is your companion? That's delightful.
He is my companion. He's one of the two. The other one is very good. He doesn't like to say hello. There he is.
And when he hears you talking and figures you're having a conversation with it, there's no one else in the room. It makes perfect sense.
He just wants treats.
Exactly.
That's what this is about.
So with all of these subclasses available and you are about to jump in, step into your own adventure that you've written, which one of those would you want to take into the adventure?
Ooh, I like the sorcerer I created.
Oh, yeah?
There's a sorcerer who can see glimpses of the future.
Right.
So it gives him some abilities to do certain things. Like he can, what you secretly do is you write down like a ready call and you put it down and that's part of your bonus action. And if it comes to fruition, you can cast a cantrip at the specific target. So you just can't say something like, if somebody attacks, it's got to be, if that person specifically attacks, you can do that. So we kind of incorporated that into it. And there's a few other things you can do with the sorcerer that incorporates him looking kind of like an oracle, looking into and seeing what could or may happen.
That's so brilliant.
That is the character class I like the most when I created it.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I play tested it at various cons and everyone who played the sorcerer was like, I really love this character. I'm like, cool. He'll buy the book when it comes out.
Yeah.
And get your sorcerer character.
Get your post-it notes ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was actually fun because I ran two or three of the adventures at a couple cons. I ran one at Total Con, which is up in Massachusetts, and I had six players. Five of them had never played 5e before. They were all brand new. So I said, look, I'm not here to kill you. I'm not like that. I'm not here to make your, you know, con experience. You sat down for half an hour and I told you your character's dead. Thanks for playing. I'll see you later. You know, I'm here to promote a product and I'm here to make you help you play it. So at the end, they were all like very, you know, appreciative because I would go through it and I'd say, here's what your character can do. What of these things do you want to do with it? Oh, thank you so much. You walked me through it. Now I really understood how it worked. And, you know, it was much more enjoyable than trying to sit here and read it on the fly and figure out, you know, what my character does.
It sounds amazing. I cannot wait to jump into it. What's it called?
The product is called Tual, T-E-H-U-A-T-L. And that is the main book. It's The Lost Lands Tual. And the second book, the companion book, is Adventures in Tual. And hopefully, if we hit our stretch goals, it will increase to five adventures. plus the two add-ons. Yeah, we're hoping we're going to get there. I'm confident we will. Fingers crossed.
I mean, it seems like there's a big enough following on Frog God Games. I took a look. You've got 28 different Kickstarters over the last 2 years. August 2018 was when the first one launched. Every single one's been successful. I don't doubt this one will be as well. Every single one's had over 800 backers. All of them have crushed their goals. So, and it sounds like one of your adventure will get to at least be one of the first. So,
yes, I'm in. The other guys, they're on their own. But no, I'm only kidding. They're both good friends of mine. So, you know, but we'll get there. We'll get them in there. And, you know, we'll get that best jury done, hopefully, and we'll really knock your socks off with some of more of the new art we're going to put in, because our artists, I'm going to give them a quick shout out, Adrian Linderos, Hector Rodriguez, Julio Carvalho, Santo.
You know what, either way, I'm going to get their names and I'll put them in the show notes, and I'll make sure that anybody who's listening to this and is following along.
Oh, Colin Chan. I can't forget Colin. He did the cover. And they really did an amazing job.
It is
job.
The first thing people see.
Yeah. When you open a book, what do you look at first? You look at the cover.
Exactly.
And it's good to see your name on the front of a book. I will say that.
Well, that's great. What are you playing right now?
Right now, I'm playing golf. A lot. No, right now I play 5e. We are doing a 5e game. Everyone in my gaming group has known each other for the most part for the last 35 to 40 years. So
wow.
We've all stayed together, and we actually do something. One of our gaming groups does something called, we call the Geek End. We actually go away for a weekend. We started in Atlantic City, so we play different kind of games. And then we go and rent a beach house for like 3 nights, and we play games for the rest of the weekend up there.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah, it is fun. It's coming up next month, so I'm looking forward to it.
Have you played Tolkien, the Mayan calendar game?
No, I have not.
It is an amazing game and really immersive in the culture of Mesoamerica, and I highly recommend giving a chance to play that next time you can.
Sold. Done.
Yep. It's so good.
Amazon. Oh, let me hit my Amazon. I've got it. How do you spell it?
Tolkien. T-S-O-L. Always an apostrophe, because this is Mayan American language. K-I-N.
Okay. I will look it up.
This has been a great, entertaining opportunity to chat with you. You've got social medias or anything you would like to plug?
Well, you can always check out our products at froggodgames.com. We also carry some of the Necromancer Games products there. They were recently resurrected. I'm on Facebook at Tom Knaus. I have Nandor as my little profile. So if you want to look me up and see Nandor, you know who I am.
Nice.
But Frog God does have a page on Facebook as well. So Frog God Games. Also, Necromancer Games has a Facebook page. We also have Instagram pages. Those mostly they're just art, though. Facebook is probably the primary source of information for our products. So Frog God Games, give us a like, and Necromancer Games too, give us a like.
And of course, look for Tom's products on DriveThruRPG with such great products like Into the Green, Into the Black, Marshes of Madness, Dunes of Desolation, and doubtlessly forthcoming is Tohoddle. Check it out on the Kickstarter as soon as you can.
Please do. Thank you so much.